Jeremiah 7, verse 23. Ooh, it's going to be a good day. I'm glad you're here. It's going to be a good day. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. He wants it to be well with you today. He wants you well. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants it to be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and they went backward and not forward. They did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, you shall speak these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. But I just want to say to you, you got a chance today. If you've been going backward, you got a chance to start moving forward. If you've been feeling like you've been in a backslide and you just keep going the wrong direction, today he just wants you to move forward. And it might just be the smallest step, but if you'll just take it, your life will never be the same. He wants you to go forward, not backward today. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this place. No other spirit but you are welcome here. Jesus, we just declare you are worthy. You're the King. You're seated on the throne. Father God, we thank you for your word, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Father God, we thank you that we can hold the word, we can look at the word, we can see the word, and we know that every word written on these pages is your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that the power of your word would flow through this place today, that it would break chains, that it would set people free, that it would bring healing. That where there's been resistance, there would be breakthrough. All scripture is God-breathed. We just declare you to be worthy today. We declare in this place that we're going to walk forward out of here, that we're going to repent, that we won't keep going backward anymore, that we just want to move forward. Jesus, we just love you. Thank you. Father God, thank you for sending him. Jesus, thank you that you did not stay, but that you left so that your Holy Spirit could come and dwell among us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just move powerfully today through this realm. But this will be a day that we are never the same. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, Moses is speaking to the Lord. And it says this, chapter 2, verse 31. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sion and his land over to you. Begin to possess it that you may inherit his land. Begin to possess it that you may inherit his land. Jesus came, died on the cross, rose from the grave, so that we could receive an inheritance. There's an inheritance for you. But today, I just want to encourage you. You have to begin to possess it. There's something you need to do that he's saying, hey, just take a step forward. Just begin to walk forward in obedience with me that you may possess it. He wants to give you the land, but you got to take a step. You got to take action in this moment to move forward and not backward. If you go on there in Deuteronomy 3:27, it says, go up to the top of Pisgah. There's a mountain. And lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes. For you shall not cross over this Jordan. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. Moses was able to see the promised land, but not actually cross over. And then he was told to encourage the next leader coming behind him, Joshua, to encourage and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. Moses missed out on it because of this moment that we read about in Numbers, where he struck the rock for water to come out, but God had only told him to speak to the rock. And he struck it out of anger. And so because of that moment, Moses didn't actually get to cross over into the land. But God lets him go up, and he gets to look at it. He gets to see it. And then he tells him, encourage Joshua, the man who will lead this next generation over into the land. Encourage him and build him up. Can you do that? Can you encourage him and build him up? And he did. I just want to encourage somebody today. You can see it. You can see what God has for you. But there's just some doubt. There's just some doubt that you're even worthy, that you're good enough, that you could have that. I just want to encourage you. He wants good things for you. He wants it to be well for you. He loves you. He wants you to move forward and not backward. And so just remember that today. He wants you to go forward and not backward. Let's go to Jude. Jude, verse 16. It says here in Jude 16, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Jude, he talks so much in here. He gives these warnings about these false teachers, how they work, how they operate. He wants you to know. He wants you to be aware. So he says, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. There's five things that will move you backwards in 2025. There's five things that will move you backwards. He wants you to move forward, but there's five things you need to know so that you don't go back. Number one, grumbling. In the Greek, those who would grumble or complain, it was described in a low, muttering voice. You know these people. You know these moments that you've had where you've been there at work, or you've been there, you know, at a big family gathering, and you've had those moments where just kind of in a low voice, you kind of lean over to that person next to you, and you're kind of like, here we go again. We got to do this again. Whatever it is. We've all been there, right? We've all been there. We've all partaken in grumbling. We know it when we see it. That low muttering voice, it conveys a sense of dissatisfaction and discontentment expressed in a covert or indirect manner. And I think back, when he's using these words, they reference specifically back to Israel's time as they were in the desert wandering, as they were in the wilderness. There were so many moments where there was that grumbling that would begin to build. Grumbling will keep you from the promised land. It will keep you from the inheritance. It will keep you from moving forward. You might feel like, man, I feel like I didn't move forward at all in 2024. I feel like I'm still in the same place. You're looking back at last year at this time, and you feel like I'm right back where I started. And I just want to encourage you, do a little check of your life. What'd your speech look like? Was there grumbling in 2024? Because you can change that in 2025. You can change that as you step in. You can change that today. You can finish 2024 better than how you started. Eliminate grumbling from your life right now. If you're doing something, if you're speaking something in a secretive way because you don't want others to hear, I'm telling you, that does not line up with God's word. How does God's word say that we should deal with conflict? You go and talk to the person directly. If the conflict isn't resolved, then what happens? You bring somebody else into the conversation. You don't give grumbling a place or a foothold in your home, in your workplace, in God's house. It doesn't exist. We don't allow it to exist here as believers because we see how serious the Bible takes it. And so anytime you begin to hear grumbling, you just answer that as a believer. You just say, hey, have you talked to that person? Hey, have you told them this is how you feel? You don't give them an ear. And grumblers will either change, they'll be transformed, or they'll realize, oh, I got to go take this someplace else, and I got to go find my people. Because grumblers, that's what they like to do. They like to find their people. They won't find it here in this house. They won't. They're going to find people that want to move forward and not backward. Because they know grumbling will keep them from everything that God has and everything that God wants them to inherit in their lives. Begin to possess it. Begin to change your language. Begin to change what you'll tolerate. Don't tolerate grumbling. You might be thinking, okay, I do good in the house, but at work it's okay because it's kind of fun to kind of hear people, you know, be mad and be upset and talk bad about people, right? You kind of feel good about that. You don't want to admit it because you're a good Christian, you know, like good for you. But if you're being honest, you're like, oh, it feels good. I worked in a church for 13 years. It felt good to grumble and complain. It felt good to listen to people grumble and complain. But it was junk food for the soul. What was it doing? It was killing me on the inside. Don't eat that junk food anymore in 2025. Just refuse it. When they put it on your table, just say, no thanks. That's not for me. You're eating different food in 2025. Complaining, number two. This term in the Greek, is used to describe someone who is discontented or given to complaining, often finding fault with their circumstances or fate. You know these people. Ah, woe is me. It's always bad. It's always this. You know this. You know complaining when you hear it. It conveys a sense of dissatisfaction and a tendency to blame external factors for one's situation. In the New Testament, it's used to characterize individuals who are not content with God's provision and who express their dissatisfaction through grumbling or murmuring. They believe that their life is governed by an unchangeable destiny. I want to tell you, that's a lie from the devil. Jesus came to break every curse over your life. And so you might feel like, oh, no, no, this is just who I am. This is how it will always be. But Jesus wants to break that off your life. You don't have to live under that anymore. Don't fall into that language. Don't fall into that pattern. Don't fall into speaking that over your life. If you keep speaking that over your life, you're giving the devil permission to own that area of your life, and it will continue. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Blessing and cursing. You can speak blessings over your life, or you can continue to speak the curse over your life. If you're speaking the curse, you're giving the devil and his demons permission to operate in your life. And it will continue. It will be a never-ending cycle. Break it off in the name of Jesus. It's as simple as you have to do it. When you begin to feel, man, just like that feeling, like that gloom coming over you, everything's bad, everything's broken, nothing is ever working out for me. And you begin to speak that out, no. Change your language and just say, no. I break off every lie in the name of Jesus. I know that he is for me and not against me. He's called me to possess the inheritance that he died for. Don't fall for the lies of the devil. He wants you well. He wants you strong. Number three, lust. It's that passion built on strong feelings. We say this all the time here. Choices lead, feelings follow. There's been a lot of times these past couple weeks where I had moments where I didn't feel like doing something, but I knew the right choice. Yesterday morning, I had missed 3 days of workouts in a row, and I was thinking, what's the big deal about missing a fourth? I didn't really feel like going to the gym yesterday. But then I started to think, I don't want to get into this pattern. I don't want this to become a constant in my life. I got to make a different choice than how I'm feeling in this moment. And so even though I didn't feel like it, even though there's a lot of other things I could have prioritized and made excuses for in that moment, I said, no, I'm going to make a different choice. I'm going to get to the gym. I'm going to do something productive today. I don't want to just sit. I don't want to just be lazy. Actually, that's a lie. I wanted to do that. I felt like doing that. But I wanted to make a different choice. Choices lead, feelings follow. Don't let your lust, don't let your feelings control you. That's what these false teachers do. They're led by feelings and not the Holy Spirit, not his holy word. There's so many times when we think, oh, how I feel is the truth of what God wants for me. No. His word is the truth of what he wants for you. And so there's going to be lots of moments where you read something or you hear something, and you're not necessarily going to feel like doing that. But you do want to move forward and not backward. And so you begin to make choices that go against your feelings. And you make choices that will move you forward and into alignment with his word. That will change things. That will change the environment you're in. Make those choices lead, and the feelings will begin to follow. You'll begin to feel better. After about 30, 40 minutes at the gym, I felt better. Your feelings will follow. Whatever it is that you've been struggling with and believe in your feelings over the choices that you know that God wants you to make, just begin to test and see how when you make those choices, the feelings will begin to follow. Number four, flattery. Jude lists this off. This term that he uses to describe flattery, this term in the Greek, it's used to describe something that is excessively large, swollen, referring to a speech or behavior that is boastful or arrogant. In the New Testament, it's used to characterize the grandiose and empty words of false teachers who seek to impress or deceive others with their inflated rhetoric. Don't fall for flattery in 2025. Don't give in to flattery in 2025. Be wise and discerning. Even in your friendships, understand flattery will feel good, but sometimes correction is what you need. Flattery will move you backwards. Correction will move you forward. It won't be easy. It will be difficult at times, but if you can receive it in the moment and understand that it might not feel as good as flattery and those that tell you what you want to hear all the time, flattery won't move you forward. But correction, it can change your life, and it can move you into places that you never thought possible. So be open to receiving correction this year, and be discerning when flattery comes. Understand that flattery, it might feel good, but don't trust your feelings. Be wise and discerning. And then number five, mockers, mocking. This term right here refers to a person who mocks, ridicules, scorns, with a sense of contempt. In the New Testament, it's used to describe those who scoff at spiritual truths and godly living. Mocking will move you backwards this year. Whether it's you mocking or whether you've surrounded yourself with mockers, those who mock a biblical lifestyle. In the Greco-Roman world, in the Greek, mockery was a common rhetorical device used in public discourse. And philosophers and orators, they would use it to ridicule and challenge opponents or highlight perceived foolishness. Paul tells us that the foolishness of the cross, it would be mocked. It would be scoffed. In a biblical context, mockers are often portrayed as those who reject divine wisdom and authority, choosing instead to follow their own desires and understanding. Proverbs 22:10 says, "Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease." So if you have contention, division right now in your life, if you feel like your life is full of strife and reproach, if you just feel like there's constantly conflict in your life, I just want to encourage you, do a check right now in your life. Is there scoffing? Is there mocking? In your friendships? In your coworkers? In your family? And then if there is, figure out, are there boundaries I need to make in place in these relationships to separate myself from the mocking? Because as you begin to separate yourself from mocking, you'll begin to find that your faith begins to build. But when you completely dive into it, when you envelop yourself in a culture of mocking, which we live in, we see it all the time. In fact, I would warn you, one of the greatest places of mocking the Christian faith, it's social media, it's movies, it's TVs. So if you're constantly surrounding yourselves with that kind of material and it mocks Jesus, it mocks the Father, it mocks and scoffs at the Holy Spirit and the fact that He still moves and is still powerful and still wants to change and transform lives, you need to separate yourself. Take yourself out of that place. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table anymore. Separate yourself. Whenever I begin to feel any doubt rising, when I begin to feel like, man, my faith is kind of low right now, I got to do a check on my life. Do an evaluation. What are the things I'm taking in every week? Am I watching shows that mock Christianity? Am I watching movies? Am I listening to music? Am I taking something in? Am I consuming something that goes against God's word? And I'm thinking that even today. It's like, oh yeah. I've had moments lately where I just keep finding myself wanting to watch a show because I want to turn my brain off for a little bit. But at the heart of this show, is it honoring Christ? No. Is it mocking Christ? Is it mocking His word? Is it mocking the truth of His word? Yes. And so I'm convicted even now in this moment. I have to separate myself and pull myself away from that. What are those places of comfort that you go to, but they're actually drawing you away and into a place of complacency or scoffing or mocking or low faith? Separate yourselves. Come out from among them. Those things will pull you backward if you continue to dwell among them, if you continue to give ear to them. We want to speak faith in this house. We don't mock, we don't scoff. We don't want to grieve His Holy Spirit. Two things that will move you forward. Here's what Jude lists out in this section. Verse 17, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." He puts it right there in the middle of all those things. In the middle of grumblers and complainers, and in the middle of mockers and sensual persons who cause division. He says right there, keep this at the center. Remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just remember the word. Just get back into the word. We're coming up into a season of prayer and fasting. One of the things we do is we put this little guide together. We call it a soap guide. And we go through scripture as a church every day for 21 days. And we take a time to pray and to fast and to get back into His word. And we call it SOAP because it's an easy acronym to remember. Scripture. And then write down your observations, your applications, and then pray. Talk to God about what you just read, what you observed in His word. And so we just have a chapter a day as we go through and we look at what His word is saying, and we know that His word is living and active and He wants to speak to us. And so we're going to dive in 2025 back into this 21 days of prayer and fasting. And if you feel like you've been away from the word, if you feel like you don't know where to start, this is a great place to start. But I would encourage you, don't even wait till then. Get into the word right now. Get into the book of John and just start in John chapter 1. Start there tomorrow. Start there today. And just begin to soap through John as we build up to this 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're going to kick off January 9th this year. Get back into the word. Remember His word. When you feel doubt coming on, just hold scripture in your heart. Begin to find verses that you know the Holy Spirit is highlighting to you, that He's speaking to you, and begin to just write them down every day. Memorize them. Put them on your bathroom mirror. Put them in your car. Put them places that you're going to see it and know it and get the word deep in your heart so that on those days when you feel doubt creeping in, when you feel complaining or grumbling creeping in, when you feel your feelings beginning to take the lead in your life, go back to the scripture and begin to speak them out over your life. Declare them out loud. And just see how it begins to change and transform and renew your mind. Remember the word. Number two, this is the second thing that will move you forward in 2025. Jude says this in verse 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." Pray in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." When the Bible says praying in the Spirit, it's the same as praying in tongues. Praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. Some of you might be new to revival. You might have no clue what this is. I just want to read to you some of these simple scriptures that Paul lays out here. "He who speaks in the tongue edifies himself." When you pray in the Spirit, you're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up. This word edify, it was used for buildings, for structure. It means to build up, to construct in a physical sense. And then specifically in the New Testament, or for these Jewish people, these Jewish believers that would have been reading it, they would have been reading that as like, man, this is how they built the temple, how they edify the temple, how they built it up. And now that we know here in the New Testament, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And when you pray in the Spirit, it builds up God's temple. And you may not know or understand the words that you are praying, but when you are praying in the Spirit, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, when you're praying in tongues, however you refer to it, it is building you up. It's strengthening you. It's edifying the temple. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. That same word again, edifying, building up. As individuals are built up, the church is built up. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Once again, we're three parts. We're a spirit, we're a soul, and we're a body, we're flesh. So when you pray in understanding, you're praying in the soul. That's your soul, your feelings, your emotions, your mind. You understand it. You know what you're thinking right now. That's your soul, your thinking, your processing. But when you pray in the Spirit, all of a sudden it just begins to flow out of you. When you've been baptized in the Spirit, it just begins to flow out of you and you don't even know. You're just letting it flow. But then Paul says, you can pray for an interpretation. You can pray for understanding so that you begin to understand and realize what it is that the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you and through you in this moment. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. And so as we pray in the Spirit, you may not always know the words, but you can pray and ask for understanding. He wants to show you and teach you. He's a good teacher. That's what he does. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Our spirits, when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, he joins with our spirit. And he begins the process of sanctification within us, transforming us. And so as we begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, he begins to change and transform our mind, our soul. And so you might feel like you are struggling in this battle in your mind, but if you'll continue to pray in the Holy Spirit, you begin to find the battle in your mind becomes easier to fight because he begins to give you words and understanding, and you begin to get into the Word, and you begin to understand what he wants and desires for you. And then for some of you, you might be feeling like, man, my struggle right now is in the flesh. But as you begin to pray in the Spirit, it begins to give you control and power over the flesh. Because what are you doing? You're submitting your tongue to the Holy Spirit. And as you submit your tongue to the Holy Spirit, you're submitting not just your tongue, but your mind, your soul, and your body. And you're saying, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. That's what praying in tongues does. It's submitting to the Holy Spirit within you. Submission is a choice. That's the other thing. You might think, oh, to pray in tongues, that means like the Holy Spirit just takes you over and it's just like an out-of-body experience and you're just out of control. No, no, no. He's a God of order, not disorder. You don't lose control. You're saying, I'm going to choose to submit my tongue and let flow out of my spirit whatever words, whatever sounds, whatever things, you don't even know. I would tell you, as you're trying to figure out, man, am I doing this? Am I praying in the Spirit? It's any language outside of your primary language. And so it might sound like the babblings of a child. It might sound like a foreign language. It might sound like Russian or French. I don't even know. Like, I've had all kinds of different experiences. I've had some where when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'll hear something begin to repeat. And I'm like, what is that word? And like, we live in a great age. Like, we can go and we can Google it. Is this a real word? And I've found many times some of these words that begin to repeat and just come out of me that are flowing out of the Spirit, It's another word in a foreign language, and I'll look at it, and in that moment, God used this to actually bring confirmation into my soul because I had so many doubts. Am I really praying in the Spirit? Is this real? Is this really happening? There's no way this can be real. But all of a sudden, these words would flow, and then I'd go and I'd look up the interpretation of some of these words that kept repeating, and they just so happen to have something to do exactly with something going on in that moment. And in my spirit, I knew the Holy Spirit was bringing confirmation that this wasn't a coincidence. This was just Him showing me. This is just Him showing me. This language is not dead. This language is not done. This was not just for the time of the apostles. It's for the church today to build up and edify and strengthen. It's a gift. It's a gift. He loves you. He wants you to unwrap the gift today. But to inherit the gift, what do you have to do? You have to begin to possess it. You got to take a step forward. You couldn't just stay back on this side of the Jordan and inherit the land. You had to take a step forward to possess the land, to inherit the land. So if you want to possess the land today, if you want to begin the inheritance today, take a step forward. Our prayer team will be up here. If you want the gift of tongues, just ask. He's a good father that gives good gifts to his children. And if you want that, you can have that today. Our ministry team is going to be up here. Our worship team, I'm going to invite you guys up. If you want to pray in the Spirit, He wants that for you. It's a heavenly language. In Romans, it's described as groanings without words. When you don't know what to pray in your mind and your understanding, do you know how many times I go to God and I have no clue what to pray for? I'm a pastor. And I go to Him and I'm like, I don't even know. But if I just begin to pray in my spirit and just begin to let it flow out of me, all of a sudden He begins to align my soul and my mind, my emotions and my feelings with His Holy Spirit because I'm submitting all of me to Him. And it begins with the tongue. It begins with the mouth. And so when I begin to just submit my tongue and my mouth to Him and just begin to flow in groanings without understanding, without words, He begins to bring understanding into me. He begins to bring me into alignment with His word. I begin to desire more of Him and less of me, less of my flesh, less of my soul, less of my wants, less of my desires. And so I just want to encourage you today, if you want that, He wants to give it to you. He's a good father. He won't give you a snake. He won't give you a viper. No, no, no. He won't give you a rock. He'll give you a good gift. What is the conclusion then? Verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Sometimes people look at me up here during worship and they see my mouth moving, but there's no lyrics. The music's just playing. I'm just singing in the Spirit in those moments. I just want to be in alignment with Him. I want to be in alignment with His Holy Spirit. And I don't always know the right words. I don't always know what to say and understand me. But as I begin to pray in the Holy Spirit and I begin to ask Him for understanding, He begins to bring me to a place where I can preach and prophesy and speak life over His church, over His people, over my life, over my family, because I'm submitting my tongue to Him. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. We preach in understanding. We prophesy in understanding. But I want to encourage you today, it's a gift to pray in the Spirit. It's a gift that He wants you to have, and it will move you forward in 2025. It will build you up. It will strengthen you this year. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can receive that today. But right now, let's stand and worship. Let's praise Him. Because He's worthy, because He came. because he's calling us forward this year.